Like I say, good morning to all of you this morning. It's good to have you here with us. I understand Zach's gone holding a meeting in Spring Hill, Louisiana. Looks like he took about half the congregation with him. But we're glad you're here. We hope we can say something that you might get a little something out of it. I felt kind of bad for Dave this morning. I got to think about it. He and I should have swapped. Because he had a longer lesson prepared and he didn't have time to do it. I've hardly ever come out with 30 minutes worth when I'm up here. So we should have swapped. I want to try to say just a few words this morning about maybe give some suggestions about how we can be more positive in a negative world. There's been a whole lot said in the last 2 or 3 years from the pulpit about the general negative direction that our country is headed into, and it's true, or as far as I'm concerned, it's true. I know there'll be folks out there that might say, well, it's not any worse than it was so many years ago. They had the same problems and this, that, and the other, and they seem to overcome it. And that's so. It has happened before, but in my lifetime, it just seemed like things are getting more negative. I hope someday we'll be able to say that this has turned over for the better. And I'm talking about things of a worldly nature as well as spiritual nature. And it seems to me that a whole lot of the problems that we face in our world today, in our country today, relate to the home, in my opinion, the home life. It's just, I don't believe the home life is anything like it was back in my childhood, 50, 60 years ago. When you live with a school teacher and you hear all the tales that come from the children that they see and teach, I can tell you that home life is not the same. Sure, there are things that are happening now that happened back in those days, but things were looked at differently back then. Sinful acts that are shameful, and even those who committed those acts wanted to hide that shame. Well, nowadays, sinful acts are applauded and heralded as something really great, something to be proud of, and something that you should accept. I've just been amazed at the lack of respect that you see for authority of all types, authority for the laws of our land and those who uphold those laws, our police, and especially the disrespect that is shown for the laws of our God. It just seems to me in my lifetime now they've just reached an all-time low. It's not uncommon to see on the news, you see young folks, teenagers, spitting at police, wrestling with them, throwing bricks at them. There's just no respect. Here recently on a Wednesday night, Homer gave his invitation, and he gave us some statistics on the declining number of people that attend church anymore, and the declining number of people that even believe in God, and how that's all going down from what it was. And those are really sad statistics. I don't remember the exact numbers he had, but it was pretty sad. There's just so much negativity around us today. And what can we do about it? And when I say we, I'm referring to we as Christians. And that's the point I want to kind of get across this morning, is what we can do to be more positive when we're faced with the negative. And when I got this together, I got to think about it. Now, my boys, they would be laughing at me if they knew what I was talking about, because they think I'm a fine one to be talking about being positive. And their mama might agree with them sometimes. I don't know. They've always thought I would bring out the negative points. And that goes back to the days when I coached them in baseball. And I did. I pointed out their mistakes, their errors, and things to try to help them improve and get better. I did point that out. But I also remember times when I commended them for the good things they did, complimented them for that. But unfortunately, they don't remember that. They just remember the negatives. I remember one time, I'll mention this, Tony hit a home run, and we won the game. We was tickled to death and proud, and I told him so and all that. But then later on, we was talking about the home run and everything. I did happen to mention, I put, but if you'd follow through with that swing, step into it a little bit, just look how much further that ball would have gone. Well, to him, that was a negative, and I guess it was a bit negative, but you see, I had a positive and I had a negative. And that's the point I want to make about Christianity. We have positives and negatives in Christianity. I'm going to read a few verses here in Matthew chapter 7. First, read verses 13 and 14, talking about two gates. It says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find that." So you see here, we got two gates here, two roads. One's a positive, one's a negative. That first gate's wide and the road's broad, but it says it leads us to destruction. And Jesus said there's many are going to travel that road. That second gate is narrow. The road's a little more difficult to travel. But this is the positive, because Jesus said that'll lead us to life eternal. Two roads, one positive, one negative. We're going to be saved. We've got to walk in that narrow, restricted way and stay out of that broad path. Well, there are two ways that we can answer to Christ or respond to Christ. One way is just by saying we will, or another way by actually doing what we say we will. And I'll read again out of Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. "Not everyone says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' Then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" So you see here, just to call, we talked about that in Vince's class, talking about just calling on the name of the Lord, that's not enough. You got to follow through with that. You got to do the will of the Lord in order to be saved. And so to do would be the positive, but just to say or to call is the negative in this case. Verses 24 through 27, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." Once again, to hear and not follow through with it, that's your negative. But to hear and to do, that's the positive. Also, a similar scriptures in James chapter 1, verse 22. I can find it. "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." So once again, don't just be a hearer. That would be the negative. But hear and do. There's your positive. If you're going to be on the side of Christ, well, then you got to be for what he's for, and you got to be against what he's against. And there are many things out in our world today that this Christ does not approve of. He would be against. I read a story or a book a good long while back about Waylon Jennings. So we older people probably know who I'm talking about. A lot of us may not. But Waylon Jennings, an old country western singer from way back in the day, he was raised in the Church of Christ. But he left the church. And he said, the reason he left the church, said, "Everything I like to do, the church said it's a sin." And they said that because it was. He was known for being heavy into drugs, alcohol, sinful living. Well, that type of reasoning, I think, is pretty prevalent in our society today. I heard one person say that she wasn't really into any church because she got sick and tired of churches when she was a child, being told what she could and could not do. You know, regardless of how one thinks or how one feels, there are things that are right and there are things that are wrong, whether we like it or not. We can read in Galatians chapter 5, common passage, verses 19 through 23. First, we read about works of the flesh. There's a list here. The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So, if you think about it, on this list here of the works of the flesh, pretty good list there, other than the idolatry and the sorcery, all the rest of this list, you can pretty well hear about that on the evening news. It's going on all the time. All this type of stuff. As far as the idolatry part, I'm not really aware in our country of a whole lot of what we would call idol worship, worshiping a monument or some figurine of some sort. But now, there is idol worship in the United States, and it's usually referring to recreation, sports, money, anything that we would allow to take us away from God. That would be our idols. Zach gave us a series of lessons recently on the fruits of the Spirit. He referred to them as the extravagant fruits. And these are the positives that we should concentrate on. Fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. These are the things that we need to practice and put to use in our daily lives so that we'll know how we're supposed to behave while we're here on this earth. And then this will be the way God wants us to live. If we intend to enter heaven, we need to avoid that first list, the works of the flesh. We need to concentrate more on that second list and study it and apply it in our lives, and that's the fruits of the Spirit. Well, God gave Moses 10 commandments on top of the Mount Sinai. 10 commandments. And out of that 10, 8 of them were negative. We read about that in Exodus 20. The negatives are, you shall have no other gods before me, shall not make carved image, shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, shall not murder, shall not commit adultery, shall not steal, shall not bear false witness, shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. And of course, the two positives was you honor your father and your mother, and remember the Sabbath. So you see here, in Christianity, there's a need for positive and negative. But we don't need to be all of one way or all of the other way. We have to find a fine balance between the two. And unfortunately, there's people out there that just can't seem to find that balance. For some folks, everything's just gloom and doom. They dwell on their troubles and their problems instead of all the many wonderful blessings that they actually are having in this life. If you don't believe me, well, just look on that Facebook. Now, I don't do Facebook, but I live with somebody that does. And occasionally, she'll show me some of the things that's on there. And I imagine all of you, if you do that sort of thing, you know somebody that's on there, and they put it out there, all their troubles and their problems and their issues, some health, some family, whatever their troubles are. They want to put it out there. And I guess that's all right. But you can carry that too far. And it seemed like each day they'll put out a different problem facing them. And it's just a gripe or a complaint about something or other. I worked with a fella one time, know him well. And those those that worked around him, I never did say this, but those worked around him, I've heard them say more than once, well, old so-and-so, I won't call his name, old so-and-so, I bet he never had a good day. Because he'd come to work and he'd have a complaint about this or that or the other. And he always seemed to be griping. Well, we, and when I say we, I mean most especially me, we need to try to be more cheerful, more joyful, and more optimistic. We need to be that glass half full person instead of the glass half empty type of a person. I think it'd be good to wake up in the morning first thing and thank God, thank the Lord for the life he's given us, another day in this creation, and ask him to help us to live more in the ways like those fruits of the Spirit, when help us carry out those characteristics joyfully, peacefully, kindly, faithfully, gently, patiently, and of course with love. So what can we do to be more positive as we live in a seemingly negative world? I recently read an article in a paper by a Mr. Fulford, and he was speaking on something like this, and he listed a few ways that might help us be more positive, and I thought I'd mention a few of them. He said, no matter what happens, look for the good in others. Now, I imagine this will take quite a bit of effort for some folks. But when I read that, the first thing come to my mind, I had two people jumped out in my mind when it comes to looking for the good in others. And I thought I'd mention that. Typically, I don't like to call names from the pulpit, mention something, because I know many times you hear different speakers call out names of folks and offering praise to them for the good things they've done, and that's good. But I know that when they're calling out those names, there's other folks' names that's being left off that's just as worthy of the same praise. And I really hate to call out names, but I'm going to do that right now. First one comes to my mind, Dan MacJunkins. Those of us who were raised up around here, grew up around him, lived around him all these years, I think everyone will agree with me. I spent a lot of time with him through the years on that front porch, around that dinner table, and out at the skinning tree. And I felt like all his boys were like brothers to me. Well, during all that time, I can't ever recall hearing him say something negative about someone. He was always speaking the good of folks or things like that. And I just think that's a wonderful way to be. And what an inspiration that is to others, you know, that's around a person like that. And then another one that jumped in my head is my mother. And sometimes I get to thinking about all the changes that this congregation has gone through, how it has changed in the last 20, 25 years. She died in 2001. And I just can't hardly believe that half the people here never knew my mother. And it's amazing to me how things have changed. She was one person that I never heard her say anything negative about someone else. And to be honest, it was frustrating to me, because I would go in there sometimes in the house and I'd be griping about somebody. I'd be complaining, oh, so-and-so, he did this or he said this, that, the other. Well, inevitably, she's going to take up for them. And it was frustrating to me. And I tell you exactly what she'd say. She'd say, well, now, I know they must have had a good reason for that. And I finally learned just keep my mouth shut around her when it comes to complaining about somebody else. And I want to be more like her. Just as sure as there is some bad that can be found in the best of people, there's bound to be some good that's found in the worst of people. And we need to try to look for the good in others first and give others the benefit of the doubt before we commence to criticize them. We need to learn to speak kind and encouraging words to other folks. Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Colossians 4:6, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. It really doesn't take a whole lot of effort to smile and to speak to someone with a civil tongue. We should try not to, to give in to any negative thoughts that we may have. I think it all, we all at some point in time have negative thoughts about certain things, and but we can't let those negative thoughts control our lives. Feelings and emotions, they change fairly often for most folks, and if we allow ourselves to act totally on our feelings and our emotions, we'll pretty much always be in a state of turmoil. We'll be riding that emotional roller coaster up and down. We need to train ourselves to be controlled by our minds rather than these emotions or feelings. Romans 12, 1 and 2, we should be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We should try to have an attitude of love and kindness toward others. If you change your attitude toward others, you'll probably find that they would change their attitude toward you. Now, of course, you got to keep in mind when you are being kind and caring to others, that doesn't mean you have to compromise when it comes to some sins or errors in their lives. There are other tactful ways to handle those situations, but we don't need to be afraid to express our genuine concern for others. Proverbs 18:24, a man who has friends must be friendly himself, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. We, as Christians, we need to be positive with our actions. To be a Christian, you have to be active, not inactive, not passive. And remember that verse in James 1:22, be doers of the word and not just hearers only. Those fruits of the Spirit that are mentioned earlier, they're active characteristics that we need to have in our lives. The more negative that we become, the less active we will be. Let me repeat that. The more negative we become, the less active we will be. And the last one I'll mention is really one of the first ones that I thought of when I was trying to put this mess together. It's one of the more frequent passages that I lean on from time to time. Some say it's my favorite. I don't call it necessarily the favorite, but it's one I look at quite often, read quite often, and we, others do here too. Philippians 4, verse 6 through 9, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is any praiseworthy, anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. I remember Zach not too long ago read that, and I remember him saying that what you focus on is what you treasure. So that we need to try to fill our minds with positive things like this list here that Paul gave the Philippians and think on these good things. Remember Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. To help us stay more positive, we need to remember that we are God's own special people, and so we need to act that way. Titus 2:11-14, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Hopefully these thoughts will help us be a little more positive as we live in this this negative world. As I closed my lesson, a song came to my mind while I was doing this, that I think the message in this song probably says a lot more than what I've been trying to say as far as what it is that we as Christians, what we have to be positive about. I thought about just with singing, but I think I'll just read it. Sometimes in our singing, we get so wrapped up in the melody and the harmony and everything that we might miss the message of the song. I'll just read these verses. It's number 795 in our book. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know He'll take me through, though I am weak and poor. I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I have a loving Savior up in glory land. I don't expect to stop until I with Him stand. He's waiting now for me in heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just up in glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their song of sweetest praise drifts back from heaven's shore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, You know I have no friend like You. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. We see so much negativity in this world that we live in. I think this song can tell us a whole lot why the Christian can be positive and what we have forward, what we have to look forward to in this someday. This world that we live in today, it's just a temporary home. It's not our final home. We have a promise of a reward in heaven if we'll come to an obedience of what God has planned for us in His gospel, His New Testament. So this morning, if you have yet to come to that obedience, if you need to have your sins washed away in baptism, or if you've already done that, and you need to have the prayers of the church this morning, you can do that this morning as we stand and sing our song of invitation.